Well, open your Bibles, if you do, to Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. If you'd like to follow along, there's a Bible should be under one of the seats in front of you, and you're welcome to use those. Colossians is in the New Testament. If you're getting to know your way around the Bible, that's a good thing. We'd love to help you to become more comfortable in his letters to you and his message to you. So Colossians is after the Gospels, after Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and then we start getting into his epistles, his letters. And I think it's Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. So if that gets you there, if not, don't ever be ashamed to use the index in the front of the book. As long as it gets you there. We're focusing on Thanksgiving that's coming up and finding the blessings that there are, the many blessings that there are from having a thankful heart, a thankful attitude about life and about the things that go on around us. But it helps to understand what thankfulness is. I find that it is very much attached to joy. It's very much attached to this concept and idea of joy. I thought it might be worth just taking a minute to think about what joy is. I kind of have this thought that joy is something that's wrapped up in faith and in peace. It's kind of couched right in the middle of it. But to understand what it is, it starts off understanding the difference between joy and happiness. Because there's a difference between those two things. Happiness, in a nutshell, is it's being glad because of our circumstances. So I had warm weather yesterday. I was so happy. I walked out the door this morning and I froze and I was not happy. Okay, that's a simple example of happiness being based upon how good things are going for us on a particular day. I can be happy today and not happy tomorrow, depending upon how good or bad things are. Joy is a slightly different thing, but quite significantly different. It's being glad no matter the circumstances. You see the difference? When we are a people of joy, whether things are good or bad, whether the weather was beautiful or freezing, whether my car is working or not, whether I'm having health issues or not, I can have joy in the midst of any circumstance, whereas happiness is dependent upon what's going on in my life at this particular time. Why is joy wrapped up in faith and peace? Because true joy is being able to say things are okay in the midst of your troubles, knowing that why are things okay when things aren't going the way they should or the way I want them to? Because faith tells me that God is in my life and he's in this somehow. No matter what the circumstances might be, by faith, God has promised us what? He works out all things, what? To the good of those who love him. Somehow, in the midst of this circumstance, I have faith that God's in this. And by his grace and goodness, it's going to be okay. Faith tells me that that's true. Peace is what I receive when I stand on that faith. And in the midst of having that peace that God is in this, and that faith in a God who is good all the time, like we said before, I know that I can have joy. It's going to be okay. So, and it's not that we don't want to be one of those kind of like, I'm going through this difficult time, and all of a sudden somebody comes up and says, "Hi, how you doing?" "Oh, hi, I'm fine. Everything's good. Yeah, things are going good." And then they leave, and you're like, "Oh, everything's going. What's going to happen with this?" We slap on this faith face where everything is good when it's not always good, Or even to where you say, okay, I'll be transparent. Things aren't really going so good. I've got this trouble and this trial. But it's okay because God is good and it's all going to be fine. It's okay for us to say, I'm really stressing over this. And I know that God is in this. But right now I'm having a hard time. We don't have to just slap on the perfect Christian face, because how many people here are that? Anybody want to claim the perfect Christian? We're not. We all are in a process of growing in our faith and struggling through life. All of us are. And so we can be real and be honest about the difficult things we're going to. I can still say that, you know what? I'm not happy about this. But God's in it somehow. I equate us to relating with God as children might relate to me as a parent. I may have to discipline my child sometime, right? Does that make me happy? I don't like to discipline my kids. Does that make my kid happy? Usually not. But we do it because we love them and we know that the outcome is going to be for their good. Sometimes I make my kids do things they don't want to do. I know. What a jerk, huh? We do. We say, you have to do this. And they say, but I don't want to. And I say, but you have to. And do I enjoy making them struggle through things that maybe they're uncomfortable with or not good at? I don't like making them, but I know that the outcome is going to be for their good. So I do it out of love for them. And sometimes, you know, it's just life. We go through difficult things. And God says, I know this is tough, but you know that I'm with you. You know that I haven't left you, right? And so we can go through these things and say, you know what? I've got faith in God. I have peace knowing that He's good, and that somehow, although I may not understand all this, my Father God does. Whether or not we had a good example of a father on this earth, He is the perfect example of a father, and He is going to walk us through and never leave us and never forsake us. He's promised that. So thankfulness, how does come back to thankfulness? Thankfulness is an expression of that joy, that deep settled joy that's wrapped up in faith and peace. Thankfulness is just, thank you God for the goodness that you've expressed, shown in my life. It's the reality that of expression of our joy and our faith and our peace. So with that, I want us to stand up. We're going to read our verse that we'll focus on. We'll have another few verses too. And that'll give us kind of a foundation for our verse and what it calls us to do. So let's read together God's word to us. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Lord, we take that calling to us, and we take it as words from your heart to ours for our blessing, for your glory. Would you speak through your word, Lord God, and somehow use your servant to do your perfect will, Lord God, even though he's imperfect. Thank you, Lord, for how you can do that through myself and through each one of us here as we serve you today in Jesus' name. And amen. Amen. You may be seated. So let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Again, we said peace is just the knowledge that God is God and He's in charge. He's in and over all things. And that's not always easy because, you know, we think about our sister Leah, who's traveling down to Charlotte, not sure if her son's going to survive. How do you have peace in the midst of that? Somehow, God, you're in this. And we know that he's promised to walk with us through those things. So he's saying, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. This is where the battle can sometimes be. What does it mean for something to rule? What does that bring up to you?
Dominance.
Dominance. Mm-hmm. Something is over in charge of, right? Overseeing. What else? Bless you. What does it mean to rule? Huh? Control. Mm-hmm. Having authority over. Yeah. Yeah. We don't have kings and queens in our country, right? So that concept is a little bit foreign to us, but he's saying, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Be in charge in your heart. That means to say, Christ, you rule. You're God in my life, not me. How many people came to the place of acknowledging that there is a God and what? It's not me. Amen? And since there is a God and you're him, then you rule, not me, right? That's it's a simple truth, and I'm a simple guy, so that's what you get from me. But simple's good. We're supposed to let the peace of Christ rule in our lives without conflict, letting him have lordship in our lives, surrendering to his authority, his will, his commands, and saying, Lord, you're God, and I will trust and obey you rather than trusting and obeying my decisions, my ideas, what I think it should be, or others in the world around me. God, I'm going to go to you first, and when I hear from you or when your word speaks clearly, I will let you rule in my life, and that's where that peace comes. And it says, when you make Christ the Lord in your life, and you have that peace that's ruling in your hearts, it says you can be thankful. This is just, it's a very simple thought, isn't it? And be thankful. That's living out that, God, your almighty God, you spoke and this whole world came into being. Look around. Can you look around at the order and beauty and complexity of the world and recognize, God, this was, you spoke this and it came to be. It just couldn't have just like thrown up a deck of cards and it came down as a house of cards. It's just, it's too incredibly beautiful and precise to have possibly happened that way. And if you're God, I'm gonna follow you. You're in my life. Thank you, God, that I can walk with this confidence. That was one of the first things as a new believer when I was about 25. And I said, wait a minute. So God Almighty, this God who created all this, wants to walk with me and help me and give me wisdom and strengthen me and encourage me. God wants to do that for me personally. That was one of those, when that hit home, it was one of those, you know, mind-blowing moments where it was like, wow. I can be thankful for that. I can be thankful for that. I thought of a couple of holiday examples of thankfulness. One of them was, how many people have seen the Christmas Carol? Yeah? Yeah, 100 times? What's your favorite version? Scrooge the Musical. Who's that one starring? Albert Finney, that's a great one. That's a great ending on that one. Who else? How about the George C. Scott version? That's a really good one. That's a really good one. There's some really great examples in there, though. I think of what's the little guy? Remember him? Tiny Tim? What's the line that everybody can associate with Tiny Tim? God bless us, everyone, right? What was Tiny Tim's circumstances? He's crippled, sickly. They weren't sure that he was really going to survive or make it. How about his family? They're poor. Did he see his father very often? No. Rotten Scrooge had him working from sunup to sundown. One of the movies, I think it was the Albert Finney one, the dad comes walking out and there's Tiny Tim sitting there, standing there in the cold, waiting for his dad to come out, you know. And yet he had a thankful heart. He didn't have a lot to be thankful for, you know, but he had a thankful heart. The blessings of a thankful heart are all around us, and they're available to every single one of us. And you know what? No one can take them away from you. The blessings of having a thankful heart. What are some of the blessings that we have? Another person, of course, the main character in this is Scrooge, right? And he didn't have much of a thankful heart for the first large part of the movie. But this, he was a greedy guy, never happy. Let's go to this verse we're going to look at next. Oh, yeah, we'll do the video right after the verse. So let's just read this one together. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Okay? Interesting, isn't it? What was Scrooge in that verse? Dried up old man. Just mean, selfish, unhappy, never happy. Just all about money and didn't want people to take advantage of him. Dries up the bones, right? But a cheerful heart is good medicine. It ministers to you. It encourages, it refreshes, it fills you up in ways that you're not always, I guess it's maybe like the opposite of stress. Stress has its physical ramifications, doesn't it? Stress can do a lot to hurt you physically. Being a cheerful heart, having a joyful heart, does the opposite. Maybe if that's a visual for you. If you've ever been stressed and it's been wearing you down, makes you sick sometimes, you're always tired, you're always tense, a cheerful heart says, lets the shoulders down. It says, God is good. God is in my life. He's walking with me. He's going to give me help. He answers prayer. He sent his own son to live and die in my place. Just kind of lets all that stuff fall away, doesn't it? That cheerful heart. Well, I want to, let's look at Scrooge. I've got a clip of Mr. Scrooge. This is the Albert Finney version. And his perspective on life.
Good evening, sir. Have we the pleasure of addressing Mr. Scrooge or Mr. Marley?
It's no pleasure to me, sir, to be addressed by either of you. And Mr. Marley has been dead these 7 years. 7 years ago this very night he died.
We've no doubt his liberality is well represented by his surviving partner.
Mr. Scrooge, sir. At this festive season of the year, sir, it is more than usually desirable that we should make some slight provision for the poor and the destitute.
Excellent, then I suggest you do so.
You miss our point, sir. The poor suffer greatly at the present time. Many thousands are in want of common necessaries.
Are there no prisons?
Oh, indeed there are, sir. Eh? That's something there's no shortage of.
And the workhouses, are they still in operation?
They are, sir. I wish I could say they were not.
I'm very glad to hear it. For a moment I was afraid that something had occurred to stop them in their useful purpose.
Oh, but sir, a few of us are endeavouring to raise a fund to buy the poor some meat and drink and means of warmth.
We choose this time, sir, because it is a time when want is keenly felt and abundance rejoices. What may we put you down for, sir?
Nothing, sir.
Ah, you wish to be anonymous.
I wish to be left alone, sir. That is what I wish. I don't make myself merry at Christmas, and I cannot afford to make idle people merry. I have been forced to support the establishments I have mentioned through taxation, and God knows they cost more than they're worth. Those who are badly off must go there.
Many would rather die than go there.
If they would rather die, then they had better do it and decrease the surplus population. Good night, gentlemen. Hamburg! Poppycock.
Balderdash was his last word there. Yeah. This was not a happy, joyful person, was he? Not a thankful person. Here he was, he had wasted his life on things that won't last. Really had made enemies of everybody. He was alone, and that's all he had, wasn't it? Well, the next clip is what happens when he realizes that he has a chance to change. You ever come to that place where you realize where you were and where you could be, and that there's a chance still that I could live my life differently? Those are important, transformative moments when you reckon, you see yourself for what you were, and what's presented to you is what could be, and it's available. And this is what happened to him. Of course, you know the whole story of he saw the three ghosts of Christmas past, present, and future, and he realized that he had an opportunity to change. And all of a sudden, he became a different person. So let's watch the next clip.
Bye-bye! What day is it?
Today?
Today!
Why, Christmas Day, of course!
It's Christmas Day! I haven't missed it! The spirits have done it all in one night. Well, they can do what they like, you see. Of course they can. Of course they can. Hello, my fine young fellow.
Hello.
Do you know the butcher's in the next street but one?
I should hope so.
What a remarkable boy, an intelligent boy. Do you happen to know if they've sold the prize turkey that was hanging up in the window? Not the big one, the enormous one.
What, you mean the one as big as me?
Oh, what a wonderful boy. So witty, it's a pleasure to talk to him. Yes, that's the one.
It's still there.
It is. Go and buy it.
What's that?
Here's 2 sovereigns. Go and wake up the butcher and tell him to open his shop. Meet me there in 10 minutes. Be holding that turkey and I'll give you ½ crown. Go on, run. Run, run. Run, run. Oh, what a lovely boy. I think I'm going to like children. Now that's what I call a turkey. It's twice the size of Tiny Tim. Come on, dear boy. Let's go and open the toy shop. Thank you. Merry Christmas. And I'll have that. And some of those. And the hobby horse. And then some flutes. And some trumpets. And that doll. And some bows and arrows. Yes. Oh, yes. And I must have a cricket bat. And these. And these. And the horse and the spinning top. And the piano. And all those dolls.
All of them?
Yes. Oh, I like that. Oh, and this beautiful coach. And several kites. And the horse.
Yes, that's good.
And these boats. And some of these. Oh, boy, I'll have that.
Oh.
Now, how much is all this?
Well,
never mind. Here are some sovereigns and you can keep the change.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Scrooge.
And I shall require the services of several small boys to help to transport these delightful objects to their destination. And each boy shall receive ½ crown.
Half a crown, yes, Mr. Scrooge. Mr. Scrooge. What has happened?
What's happened? It's perfectly simple, Pringle. I've discovered that I like life.
Isn't that neat? That's a great version, because there's a whole big song that follows it that's all about him just loving life. Why does he love life all of a sudden? Because all of a sudden he's thankful. He's joyful. He says, I've got new possibilities. I just think that's a neat story and a great visual of how we can be very inward focused. And what does it do? That verse said it dries up the bones. Or we can begin to be thankful and joyful. And what good medicine it is for our hearts. These are the blessings of a thankful heart. And we have the choice every moment of every day to say, am I going to choose these blessings, or am I going to reject them and focus on whatever negative thing that can consume us in different ways? There's one other person I think was a person of great joy, and this was not a fictional person, but a very real person. I think of Martin Luther King, who served, and I mean, this was a guy who gave his life to bring people together through peaceful means, to help us to grow as Americans together. And he knew there was great risk to him in his life, but he made the choice to do that. I think of this verse here. This came to my mind. James says it this way. And let's read this together. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. James 1, 2 through 4. Joy is what we choose, right? Trials are going to happen, aren't they? You don't always get to choose those. Joy is what we get to choose. And in choosing joy, it's what will give you that victory of your faith, no matter the circumstances. And it is joy that will allow us to persevere and mature, because you mature as you persevere, don't you? It doesn't go the opposite direction. You persevere through the tough stuff, and that's where your maturity begins to happen. And as you mature, you become complete, as the scripture says, lacking nothing, lacking nothing. Martin Luther King said, great quote. It says, I've held many things in my hands, and I have lost them all. But whatever I have placed in God's hands, that I still possess. I don't think he realized how prophetic that was, that he was going to really lose it all when he was assassinated. But yet, he says, whatever I put in God's hands, I never lose that. That's a thankful heart. That's a heart that's full of peace and faith. Now, what are you thankful for today? I've talked enough. We've let God's word speak. What are you thankful for? I want to hear from you. You can sit down if you like. Just use the mic.
I am thankful that I'm sitting here next to my mom. I had a heart attack on September 30th. Sitting here in church, walking on the treadmill twice a week, doing rehab.
All right.
Got her sense of humor back.
Amen.
It's just
awesome.
We just have everything to be thankful for.
That's much to be thankful for. Thank you, Susan. It's so good to see you. Rachel.
I'm thankful for Jesus Christ dying on the cross for me so that I could live. And each of us are special to God. And I have that personal relationship with the Lord. And I pray that those who don't get a personal relationship with him, because he is our hope.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Rachel. That is where it all comes from. He's the source of our hope. I'll come over. I'll try to do it as I come. Lisa?
I'm thankful for another year with my daughter. Lord gave her second life 4 years ago.
Amen. Her daughter had how old was Casey?
She was 13.
13 when she had a heart transplant. And so every year is a gift, isn't it, Lisa? Yeah, we're grateful for that. Logan, what are you thankful for today?
I'm thankful for Brennan coming to church.
I am too.
And I've known Brennan since 10th grade, and we both struggled in two different schools. Mm-hmm. He was struggling at Cusno, and I was struggling at Mott. And at the same time, we both went to Sterling, and that's when we first knew each other. Ever since our senior year, he's been out of injury because of his ankle issue, and I've been keeping in touch with him every day. And we've been going to school for a long time. 4 years we've known each other.
Yeah.
And he happens to be more of a friend. He's more like a brother.
Neat. That's pretty
and
neat.
And plus, his birthday is on New Year's Day, January 1st.
Now everybody knows. Thank you. That's awesome. That's awesome. Anybody else? Oh, great. I'll get you.
I'm thankful for my friends, my family, and I'm thankful for all the people that are surrounded by me, and I'm thankful for my old teachers, and I'm thankful just for people around the world.
Same here.
Thank you, Brennan. Much to be thankful for. Paul.
Well, I'm thankful for my family, and I'm most thankful for the church. And I'm going to say one thing, it's a little superficial, I guess, but I am thankful for our first place Detroit Lions today.
nothing wrong there. Oh, hey.
Hi. I'm thankful for a God who loves us, and that no matter what, who listens to our prayers, and no matter what hardships and how many times we mess up, he'll always be there for us and give us a way.
That's right.
I know that the last couple of weeks have been really stressful for me, and just being here today and listening to him, instead of the stress we have, like he was saying, to just be thankful for what we have is a great thing. I'm also thankful for my family that I have in Houston, and the second family that I have that I've been given when I came to Michigan, which is Scott and Karen's family. Thank you.
Thank you. That's awesome. That's awesome. See you back there.
I'm thankful for you, Pastor Frank, and your willingness to accept the call to lead us.
Oh, thank you so much. That means a lot. It does. Oh, I'll come back.
Most of all, I'm thankful for my new grandson. First and foremost. He's a blessing in our lives. Just glad to, and for my son, and for all of you and my family. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. I'm looking forward to one of those blessings one of these days too. One day, yeah.
Good afternoon. My name is Victoria Griffin, and first, I'm thankful that Diane invited me to church today. So I'm just glad to be here. Woohoo!
So glad you're here. Yes.
And the next thing, I'm thankful for so many things, but I'm thankful to just have a relationship with the Lord and to know the Lord. You know, it's a blessing to know the Lord and to have the Holy Spirit speak to you. So that's one of my main blessings. And the second one is I'm thankful to be a 1-year breast cancer survivor. Amen. Praise God.
Woo! Yes, Lord.
And I'm thankful just for my family, my kids, everything, just to be alive. Every day is a blessing, and please, everybody, don't take it for granted, because tomorrow is not guaranteed.
That is true, sister. Thank you, Victoria. That is true. Amen. Oh, Regina.
Regina.
Hi, again, my name's Regina. Sorry, hold on, I'm trying not to get emotional. First off, I wanna just be thankful for everything because for the last few days, I've been going through a lot of stuff. I've been losing a lot of people in my family. I just lost my auntie not too long ago from cancer. She has lung cancer, stage 4. It's been very hard for me. I've been very depressed, very moody. But at the same time, I've just been thankful because, you know, I have Chris, Joe, and every day they talk to me and they just get me going, you know, and just start coming back to church and everything. Amen. So, yeah, I'm just very thankful for, you know, the family here that just, you know, welcome me. And that's it. I'm just very thankful. And for you, too, because, you know, without you, I mean, I wouldn't even be here and everything. So I thank you.
Well, Regina, we're so glad to see you. God is good. He's faithful. He's faithful. Did I miss anybody? Oh, yes. Michelle.
I would do this.
All right. What are you thankful for, Michelle?
And do is me.
Oh, my. That's loud, huh? Here.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, I'll hold it so that it's not so loud.
Matthew. I only hold it.
Okay.
Matthew.
What are you thankful for?
I think is my play. Me is in my play. This, my staff. I think my staff is Lisa. Lisa, my staff. Terry, my staff. And Nancy is my staff. Nelly Bunch, I love you. Great time, and great. I'm a friend, and it's I love you, God. I love you.
Amen. Some special people in your life. Some special people in your life.
It's in a play.
Okay. Oh, okay. She was in a play, and there's a lot of the staff people. That's neat that you were in a play. Yes. Hello.
Yes, I'm thankful for the change God has gave me with my new husband and my stepchildren, and thankful for being here with you guys today. Very warming, very blissful. Thank you.
So glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. Wow. All right. That's wonderful. All right, one or two more, and I think I'm starting to hear tummies grumbling. Well, I got one more back here. Nancy?
So 1 year ago today, we brought our family here, and we didn't know it was the share meal.
Oh, was that 1 year?
It was 1 year
wow.
ago. And you guys have been such a warm home, and we just want to thank you so much for welcoming us and letting us be members and loving us. And thank you so much.
Oh, so glad you guys are here, all of you guys. Wonderful. Any others? Oh, sorry. And I see Bonnie and Betty. And then we'll probably ask.
Betty, don't forget Betty.
I won't forget Betty. Betty won't let me to forget Betty. I know her.
I just, every year I'm just grateful for one more year of sobriety. I have 28 years this year.
28 years sober? God bless you. God's able to break every chain. Amen. Amen. Betty, my dear sister.
Okay, I'll tell you what I'm thankful for.
What?
I'm thankful for you. Everybody say amen if you're thankful for him. Okay. And I'm thankful my garage door closed good this morning.
Praise the Lord for the small
yeah,
things.
I wouldn't be in church, I know.
Working garage
but
doors.
But most of all, who are we thankful for? Jesus. Say amen.
Amen.
We love you, Lord.
Amen. Well, God is good. Much to be thankful for.
I'm going to encourage you that as we go to eat, I know you might sit down with family and people you're familiar with, but go eat dessert with somebody you don't know. Okay? Go find somebody you don't know, even for dinner if you want. But let's make sure we get to know and give a hug. Introduce yourself to somebody you don't know so well, or you don't know. And that's a wonderful thing. Ready? Okay. I'm going to ask a blessing on the food right from here so we can go right on back. Did I miss you? I'm sorry, you did have one more.
I'm also thankful for Wendy's birthday that's going to be in 2 days.
Wendy's birthday in 2 days? Oh, you guys are getting called out.
And wait, one more thing.
Okay, make it.
Before the Thanksgiving dinner, I got a song that I'm going to sing to Wendy.